our own inner sanctum of our own self, and then our relationship with others, one another, other believers, family members. This is where we live. This is what our Savior is talking about. We need your Spirit tonight to open our eyes to these things, that they become exciting to us, vibrant to us, and ever before us. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. We have moved in our study now to verse 20, a very important verse getting ready for the church age. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Okay, now I'm not going to go over it because we just did it, but, well, we didn't do it last week because we had our Thanksgiving special, very important one. But if you recall, there are two Greek words for sending. There is apostello, emphasizing the relationship between the one doing the sending with those whom he sent. For an example, God the Father sends Jesus Christ. We'll put it here. God the Father sends Jesus Christ to the world. And namely, we could say to the Jews and Gentiles, if we want to make it even more precise. So, there are two words for sending. One word, apostello, which is not our word, would emphasize the relationship, people. Something that a lot of people don't like to talk about and can't handle in life. The relationship between the Father, the one doing the sending, the Father, and the ones to whom he sent. So there is a very clear relationship in God's mind between God the Father and us. Now, the word we have here is a pimpo. Now, pimpo emphasizes the relationship between the one doing the sending and the one sent. So this would emphasize the relationship between God the Father and Jesus Christ. So there are a lot of different dynamics in the Greek that I like. Now, let's take a look at our passage. He who receives whomever I send. Now, note the indefinite whoever. It's indefinite. But in the Greek, we call this is called an indefinite pronoun. But I want to tell you something about the indefinite pronoun. It's one of those kind of things when you first take in Greek and you start hearing these things, your head kind of bows. It's called an indefinite pronoun, but it always refers to a specific person. That's what's amazing. It's called an indefinite pronoun, but it's definite. And so it refers to a specific category or person. Jesus Christ has someone specifically in mind. And he's talking about here the Holy Spirit. So you can get that in your mind and in your notes. He's talking of he who receives whomever I send. Reference the Holy Spirit. This is a prophecy of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 14, the next chapter. Just turn a page, and you're in chapter 14. Let's read verse 16 through 18. And I will ask, I, Jesus Christ, this is still the upper room, I will ask the Father. Now, well, this is after the crucifixion, and then he ascends to heaven. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, another of the same kind, just like me, that he may be with you forever. I'm personally leaving. Jesus Christ is leaving the earth. He's going to send another like himself, helper, Jesus Christ, or the Holy Spirit, who will be with us. Now, he tells us that. Look at verse 17. That is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit teaches the truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. How will he come to us? in the frame of the Holy Spirit. So this is what he's talking about. Now let's go back to our passage. Oh, look at verse 26, by the way, in chapter 14. Verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, in case you hadn't caught on yet, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, because he asked him, he, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Now, if you want to see something beautiful, verse 26 that you just read, God the Father will send the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let's take a look here. Keep this on the board here. God the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. See how they're together? Christ here, Holy Spirit here. He will send the Holy Spirit to believers, namely the church. Okay? So, God the Father will send the Holy Spirit to the church. Now, the word used here, if we had time, I'd say, let's talk about it, see what you think it would be. Pimpo or apostello. But the word here is apostello, the word to send. God the Father will send the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. The word to send is apostello, which emphasizes the relationship between God the Father and the one sent and the Holy Spirit. Boom. So there's a relationship here that's so vital, people. This is so important to see the relationship emphasis. He, God the Father, is going to send the Holy Spirit to every believer in the church, everyone in the body of Christ, in the household of God, because Jesus Christ asked him to do so. So while our word emphasizes, watch, this is what's beautiful. Our word emphasizes this relationship. But note that the reason that he's doing that is because of God the Father's relationship with Jesus Christ, his Son. So we have all three related here in this great passage that we're looking at. Now let's go back to verse 20 in chapter 13. He who receives. Okay, he who receives. Let's note receives. How do we receive from God? People, we receive from God by faith. We do not earn or deserve. We simply trust him. And we receive by grace. He who receives whomever, the specific one, I send. Okay? This is the word pimpo. Alright, now let's take a look. This is so much fun. I hope it doesn't bore you. I hope it excites you because this is what I hope you're coming to a Bible church for this kind of beauty. He who receives whomever I send. So, the one doing the sending is Jesus Christ. The one he is sending is the Holy Spirit. The recipients, the church. Every born-again believer. The word here is pimpo. So Jesus Christ is using the word that emphasizes the relationship between himself, Jesus Christ, and the one he sends. He's emphasizing this relationship. Because that's what's at issue here. They are the same. That's why he has another of the same kind. They're both God. There's a powerful relationship between Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that he can send the Holy Spirit. The emphasis here is not the relationship of the church, even though that's who it's been sent to. I'm going to send you someone very special to me. Like God the Father, I'm sending you someone special to me, my Son. Jesus Christ, I'm sending you someone very special to me that I have an intimate relationship with, third member of the Godhead. Second member of the Godhead, third member of the Godhead to the church. People, this is powerful what God is doing. Talk about Christmas and giving. Jesus Christ is giving to us God the Holy Spirit. This is a powerful, powerful relationship. There's an essential relationship between Jesus Christ and the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Just as there is between God the Father and Jesus Christ. I in him, he in me. And there's a powerful relationship we're going to have to be keep our eyes on as we go through chapters 13, 14, and 15. Now, right here is one of the great problems people have with the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. Difficulty of faith in Christ and faith in the Holy Spirit. This is where a lot of people have a lot of problems. When I first, Lewis Berry Chafer first opened my eyes to this in his book, He That Is Spiritual, chapter 7. And so many people, nope, and they rejected it, just as so many people rejected Jesus Christ. And they reject this Holy Spirit. People, I've even had people see it and then, they want to go back to somewhere where they're comfortable. But this is why they have a lot of problems, is that they do not understand the relationship between Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We know a great deal about Jesus Christ. We know about his purpose. We know who he is. He's the Son of God. He is the God-man. We know why he was sent to us by God the Father. But most are not clear on the mission or the person of the Holy Spirit. A lot of Christians are afraid of him. And when I say that, what I mean by that is they don't want to become charismatic. They don't want to start babbling in tongues and roll on the floor. People, Jesus Christ did not speak in tongues and roll on the floor. The disciples did not roll on the floor. All these things that we're so afraid of the Holy Spirit. Because there's Satan has got a group of people called charismatics, and then he's neutralized them already, and then he's neutralized a whole other group of Christians. Well, I don't want to be like them, so let's keep this Holy Spirit thing kind of off on itself there. Let's talk about him because he's in the Bible and he's important, but let's don't have an intimate relationship with him. People, don't do that. He is your Lord. He is your Lord who will take you to your Lord, Jesus Christ, who takes you to your Lord, God the Father. He who receives whomever I send, the reference to Jesus Christ sending the Holy Spirit on his mission. Jesus Christ is doing the sending. He is sending the Holy Spirit. He is sending the Holy Spirit to all believers in the church. And there is a unique relationship between Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And put this in your mind and your notes. And therefore, because the Holy Spirit is in you, there is a unique relationship between you and Jesus Christ. By the presence of the Holy Spirit, we have the presence of Jesus Christ. Now notice the next statement. Receives me. Who receives whomever I send, receives me. There you have why Jesus Christ used Pimpo. Hey, how y'all doing? Yeah, come sit right up here in the front row. That's good. Pam, you'll be able to see me now. Maybe that's why she likes the back row. Bless your heart. Oh, okay. Money, how y'all doing? Good, okay. We are in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, and we are in verse 20. Okay, he who receives whomever I send, now that's Jesus Christ sending the Holy Spirit, receives me. And this is the relationship between Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and now between you and Jesus Christ. He who receives whomever I send, Holy Spirit, receives me, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is in you by virtue of the Holy Spirit's presence in you. Now we have the last phrase. And he who receives me, receives him who sent me. Just as there is a close relationship between Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, there is a close relationship between Jesus Christ and God the Father. So let's see if we can get all of this on the board. We have God the Father sends Jesus Christ to the world. Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit to the church. Okay. Now, what I have on the board, people, is what we've been studying for so long. Take a look at it. This is what? This is salvation one. Eternal life salvation. It is by faith. Now, Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit to the church. This is what we call salvation, setting up salvation too, by faith. This makes it, this is one another one of those places. If we want to see it, we're going to see it. If you don't, you're never going to see it. But this is really beautiful, what we have going on here. So, no one comes to the Father but through the Son. And the way to the Son is through the Holy Spirit. So here you and I are, we'll just put it down here, here you and I are. We go through the Holy Spirit, who takes us to Jesus Christ, who takes us to God the Father. It's a beautiful way that God has set it up, and this whole thing is by faith. He who receives me, this is a reference to anyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, receives him who sent me. God the Father has sent the Son. This is the aorist participle of pimpo. And the action of the aorist participle precedes the action of the main verb. God the Father sent Jesus Christ before we received him by faith. Pimpo emphasizes the relationship between the Father and Christ. Just remember now, two words for sending in the oh, Jim, I didn't mean to do it that way. Two. Let's go back that way. Two this way. There are two words for sending. And I'm sorry we don't get that in the English. One word emphasizes the relationship, that is, of the one doing the sending and the one sent. That's pimpo, our word. God the Father, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. If we had the word apostello, that would emphasize the one doing the sending with the one to whom sent. But here again we have pimpo. This whole verse is filled with personal relationships, people. Something that most Christians are afraid of. But it is the emphasis of our Christian life. People, we're getting ready to come across in our important things that Christ is telling us. Right now he's telling us about the sending of the Holy Spirit. He's getting ready to give us a new commandment called love one another. People, there's a very important reason why that's the new commandment. He didn't say that you all agree the same thing. He didn't say that you all be moral. He didn't say that you all go to the same church. He transcended all of that and said, love one another. That's what he did. Love one another. And then he gave us the Holy Spirit for that love. This is so important as to what is going on. Relationships. God the Father has sent the Holy Spirit, or well, we could say that Jesus Christ in our study, because God the Father does send the Spirit, but here Jesus Christ sends the Spirit, and he does it for our interrelationships with him, with the Father, and with each other. People, we are Spirit dependent. We are Holy Spirit dependent to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are Spirit dependent on having a relationship with God the Father. We are Spirit dependent on having relationship with one another. We're totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. And one reason the church is in such shambles is because everything is emphasized but the Spirit-filled life by faith. There are a lot of preachers, people who do teach some good stuff, but they never tell people how to do it in the power of the Spirit by faith. And so people try to do it by the energy of the flesh, and it doesn't work. We're getting ready to move into some tough teaching on one another. So this whole verse is filled with personal relationships. You desire a relationship with the Father, this is possible only through His Son, by faith. You desire a relationship with Jesus Christ, it is only through His Spirit, by faith. We must understand the closeness of the Father and the Son and the Son and the Spirit. We've got so many relationships here. People, we're in fourth year seminary here. This is understanding the whole function of the Godhead with each other and how it relates to us and then how we relate to each other. This is the whole gamut of what all of this is about. So let's note a few points. One, God the Father is invisible, spiritual, but real. He's omnipresent, you know that. But He's real. We cannot see Him. So the question arises, we are flesh. How are we going to have a relationship fellowship with God, namely God the Father. How are we going to do that? This is what we desire, people. That's why we, all of us, and all the people go to churches. It's about this whole thing of God, the God thing, if you please. How am I going to relate to Him? How am I going to commune? How am I going to have a fellowship with Him? Whom we cannot see. This is why, prove to me there's a God. The arrogant person says, I don't believe in God. Prove to me there's a God. You can't prove it. You cannot prove it. Well, all you have to do is look at the stars and all these wonderful things that convince you and I. But people, if you don't want to believe it, it just happened. Just big bang, and there everything was. Just evolution, and there it was. And he can't prove it. How are we going to have a relationship with him that is invisible, that we cannot see? The answer to that question, through his Son, whom we can see. God became man so that we can see. We can behold him. He tabernacled, as John says in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. He came in tabernacle. That means take up a tent, take up a body. Like ours. He tabernacled among us. God tabernacled among us. He took one of our bodies. Then in 1 John, we want to relay to you whom we have seen and touched so that you can have fellowship with Him. So, God is invisible. How can we have fellowship with Him who is invisible that we cannot see? Through His Son. Out of His compassion, out of His love, He sent His Son. When we receive Christ by faith, people, we enter into a personal relationship with the Father. And don't think you're going to go there with, I don't need Christ, I believe in God, and I'm up in the mountaintops in Montana or Colorado or somewhere, and I'm looking over, and boy, I just, God, and I don't need Jesus, and I don't know, the way to the Father is through the Son. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Through me. So you're not going to make it that way. We do not receive personal relationship with the Father by believing in Him, people. Hey, you got to save me. I believe in you. Isn't what God said. It isn't me. Got to believe in my Son. Just believe in my Son. You come to me through my Son. It's not just a matter of believing in me. He's very clear on that. Point two. So God the Father sent Jesus Christ. And if you want to put it another way, because I can show you other passages, God made a decision to become man. That's Jesus Christ. So we can talk about it from the standpoint of God's compassion and love, how He sent the Son. We can also talk about it just the compassion and love of God that He became man. Second member of the Godhead became man. Took the form of man. And whoever receives Jesus Christ, believes in Him, receives God the Father. You don't believe and receive the Father without going through the Son, people. You don't do that. That's why, what did we study a couple of Sundays ago? The gospel of what? Promise. The way to the Father is through the promised one. It's a very important study on Sunday morning, the various titles of the gospel. And so here, God the Father sent the Son, or God became man. And whoever receives Jesus Christ receives the Father. But if you reject Jesus Christ, people, you cannot have fellowship with the Father. I'm sorry. Many are deceived into thinking they have fellowship with the Father without Jesus Christ. It isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen. That's why He sent His Son. It's like a couple. And someone wants to come in and just have, they say, just babbling up here now, but they were married maybe to these people's son, and then they divorced, and they want to continue to have, it's through our Son that we have this fellowship. It's through our Son. So, this is through His Son that we have this fellowship with God. Someone may say, and indeed many do, I do not believe in Jesus Christ, but I both believe in God and I have a relationship, fellowship with God. People, they lie, the truth is not in them, and they deceive themselves. It's not my words, those are words of the scriptures in 1 John. They lie, and the truth is not in them, and they deceive themselves. The Scriptures make it very clear the only way to the Father is through faith in His Son. Being a partaker with Christ is being a partaker of God the Father. Point three. Now Jesus Christ is getting ready in our study. Jesus Christ is getting ready to leave earth. By the way, let me just stop right away and stop and talk to you. People, things we're studying right now, this is another one of the things that kind of divides churches, sets up all the different, a lot of the different denominations, if they even think this is this far. But these are the kinds of things you argue about in theology and in talking with people who are impressed with their wisdom or even their searching. These are the kinds of things. I remember when I was in the military and stationed in Germany, I took 2 weeks leave and went to Francis Schaeffer. He used to be he's deceased now, but he used to be a philosopher, Christian philosopher type person. And he ran a place in Switzerland. And people came from all over the world, great people that were philosophers, doctors, thinkers, and they would come, and at night we'd meet in one of the chateaus, Le Brie, Switzerland. And we'd meet in a chateau, and everybody just sitting around on the floor, and people there'd be, and I'm not saying this to impress anybody, because I certainly wasn't impressed, but people from Princeton and people from Oxford, people from Cambridge in England, and people from the University of Nuremberg, and scholars, doctors, and we're all just sitting around, and they start talking, and Dr. Schaeffer would be up here, and they would just start talking and interacting, and these are the kinds of things that these people's minds were just seeking, and it was an eye opener for me, because I just believed it in its simplicity. And I remember there was a man there, and he studied under Jean-Paul Sartre, and he just, boy, you could just see his mind just boggling him, messing him up, because he's trying to grow. I mean, his mind really was just messing him up. He was just up there in some level of thinking. And Dr. Schaeffer laboriously tried to talk with him, and I'll never forget that I just spent my time there praying, Father, please, if I can communicate to this man, let me talk to him tomorrow. Please. And that was my constant prayer. And I'll never forget the next day, in the afternoon, after lunch, some reason, as you would understand like I do, boom, there we were, just he and I. Just he and I outside at a table with the benches, and I just said, Juan, let me put it in my simple terms. Cut through all that stuff that your mind is bringing in here and in there. It's simply by faith. It has you're not going, Juan, you are not going to reason this out. Now, I know you like to reason things out. That's your mind, and I appreciate that, and I respect your mind. Guess who's a genius? But you're not going to reason this out. This is something you're going to have to just believe by simple faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior, took all the sins, He's the way to the Father. And people, and I'm not exaggerating, He sat right there and accepted Christ as Savior by faith. In fact, to the point, and I let it go. And we talked a little while then. That night, he got him told everybody that his new friend Herman and how he just believed in Christ. And now he feels so wonderful, part of all of this. And that caused Schaeffer and I to get together. I wanted to, but I didn't have the place for it with all the important people that were there. And then we spent a good time together just talking. And then I remember when he spoke at Dallas Seminary, I knew he wouldn't remember me, but he spoke, and so I managed myself when he was going to leave the stage. I think he was leaving or going to the stage, it doesn't matter. And he remembered me, and we just started talking right there, and it was good interaction. But what we're talking about, people, I don't know what's going on in your minds right now. I don't know what you're thinking right now. Maybe this is simple. And I hope that's what you're doing. But I want you to appreciate that a lot of people, this is where they struggle, right where we're studying. This is where a lot of people, God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God's invisible. How do we know there's a God? How do we have fellowship with God? How do we come to God? How do we relate to God? Do we do this? Do we do that? And where do I find him? How do I find him on the search that we're on for God and seeking God? I seek God. Where am I going to find him? And these are the things that people fight and argue and have so much trouble in their soul. And it's simple. It's by faith. Point three. Jesus Christ is getting ready to leave the earth now. Now, we've just seen how God is invisible. We want to have fellowship with him. So he sent his son, or he came. God came, took the form of man. So now we got a grasp of it, to come to the Father. Now, this same Jesus is getting ready to leave. He's going back to heaven. He's going to leave earth, depart from earth, go back to the Father, 13:1. Therefore, we will not see him. We will not see him. In his absence, how are we going to know how to live? Christ came to the disciples and to others like Mary, Martha, Lazarus, all these people. He came to them and they were ready to move from the prophecies of his coming. They've come to him. He's here. He's going to bring in the kingdom. Let's follow him. He goes to Galilee, we go to Galilee. He goes here, we go wherever. So now we got a feel of what's going to happen. What does he do? He tells them, I'm leaving. Chapter 13, 1, and then previously, and then later on in chapter 13. I'm leaving. Wait a minute. You can't leave. You can't leave. Like a woman to a husband. You can't. We just got married. How am I going to know what to do? And all of this type of thing. How are we going to know what to do, Lord? How are we going to know where to go? You're leaving us as orphans. Here we are. We have no... We've given up, as it were, to follow you. We're ostracized by Jews. The Romans don't like us. We don't know what to do. So what happens under point three? Jesus Christ is going to send, or going to, in the midst of our study, the Holy Spirit to guide us. See, people, I've told you this before, but here's a good place to see it. How did the disciples and Mary and Martha and all these wonderful people we studied, how did they walk? They walked by sight. They walked by sight. They followed this man Jesus. He's leaving. They're in great fear. This whole thing of the crucifixion and the resurrection we're getting ready to go into, please, don't theologically sit back and be self-righteous. Think about it from Mary, Martha, Lazarus, the disciples, from their view. Wait a minute. Man, we just... You're going to die, and then you tell us you're going to leave. Now you're going to die, now you're going to leave. What's going to happen to us? It's going to happen to me. And that's not arrogance. Self-preservation as a believer now. What am I going to do? So point three, Jesus Christ is going to send the Holy Spirit. Now, if we desire a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're going to have to go through the Holy Spirit. We're going to have fellowship with the Spirit in order to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, in order to have fellowship with God the Father. So, looks like this. God the Father sends God the Son, Jesus Christ, who sends God the Holy Spirit. And there's interrelationships all the way up here, and then here we are, you and I, right here. This is where we have a relationship. We go to the Spirit, Son, to God the Father. It's a very beautiful relationship passage. This is why John 6:29 is so valuable and vital in salvation and in living the Spirit-filled life. Look with me, if you will, back at John 6. John 6. John 6, 28. They said therefore to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Okay, what is our work? Our work is faith. I have fun with faith and work, because works is absence of faith is absence of work, grace is absence of work. But okay, if you want to insist on works, then the work is faith, which is no works. It's a vicious little circle here. What is our work? It's faith. And then faith will have its works through us. That's what the book of James is about, the book of Galatians is about. Nothing else matters but what? Faith expressing itself in love. And what or whom is the object of our faith becomes crucial to us. And you and I know that. Somebody just says, "Have faith." Well, faith in what? There's faith in... I was waiting the whole time I was in the hospital for some priest or chaplain or somebody to come in and tell me to have faith. I was waiting. Boy, this is going to be fun. Faith in what? But they never came and visited me. I don't know if they didn't know I was there, or put down there that he was a preacher, and so they said, "I'm not visiting him," or what, but I never was visited by a chaplain or a priest, or did they put down that I was a preacher, you reckon? I don't know. But nobody came, even at the VA, to check me out. And I wanted so much for them to say, "Just have faith," before the operation. I thought the night before one would come in. I really did. But if I were the chaplain of the VA, I would have gone, even the guy's a preacher. Just be sure of things. Okay, but anyway, so we have faith that this is the object of faith, and faith is not the issue. The sufficiency of faith is the object of faith. All right, so first, for our positional salvation, eternal life salvation, the object is Jesus Christ, the one whom God sent. Then for living salvation, experiential salvation, our faith is the one whom Jesus Christ sent, the Holy Spirit. Look at Isaiah 48, please. Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48, verse 16. Powerful verse. Just absolutely powerful. "Come near to me, listen to this." The great words, some of the greatest words in the Bible are "listen." And then some of the most frightening words, they would not listen. When I was growing up, it was frightening if we didn't listen to our mother. All right. "Listen to this. From the first, I have not spoken in secret. From the time it took place, I am." That's Jesus Christ, the eternal I am. "But now, the Lord God," God the Father, "has sent me," God the Son, Jesus Christ, "and His Spirit." It's almost, they go very close together, the 1-2 punch. He sent me, and then I'm hardly off of the earth, and He sends His Spirit. Sends me and His Spirit. Or we can look at it another way, send them together, because we know that in Isaiah that He said, "On this one I anoint with my Spirit." So it could be to Jesus Christ, could be to the world, but it's the second coming, and the first sending is Jesus Christ. Second is the Holy Spirit. "Come near to me," Jesus Christ talking. "Listen to this. From the first, I have not spoken in secret. From the time it took place, I am." Jesus Christ has always existed. "And now," meaning the time and place of the incarnation, "and now the Lord God," God the Father, "has sent me and His Spirit." Finally, in our relationship with God the Father or with His Son requires people Get ready for it, for it's a relationship word, love. In a relationship with God the Father or with His Son requires love. And as we're going to see, it is required in relationship with one another. This love is not from our flesh. We cannot produce this love. This love comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with each other. Look at the Gospel of John 14. Gospel of John 14. Gospel of John chapter 14. And let's look at verse 18. Gospel of John 14, verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, how's He going to come? After a little while, the world will behold Me no more. He will ascend. He will come back. And then He will leave and will behold Him no more. But you will behold Me because I live. Resurrection, resurrected body. You shall live also. People, that's you and I. In that day, you shall know that I am in My Father, and you in Me, and I in you. People, that is so complicated. That's more complicated than Paul in Romans 7, where I don't do the things I want to do, and I do the things I don't want to do, and all the things there that if you went in and told a psychiatrist that, he could build a whole house with the money you're going to have to pay him. And if that doesn't do it, look at this one. In that day you shall know that I am in My Father, Jesus Christ is in the Father, and you in Me, Jesus Christ, and I in you, the believer, and we're all in the Father. Ezekiel's wheels and wheels. Verse 21. He who has My commandments and keeps them. Okay. See, here's one of those things. What is He talking about? What's He talking? Well, preacher and Bible scholars talk about the Ten Commandments. Talk about all kinds of... It's the commandments we have here. What are the two commandments we have in our passage? To love one another and to trust. Faith. Faith and love. He who has My commandments, faith and love, and keeps them, walk by faith, and love as Christ loved, he it is who loves Me. And he who loves Me shall be loved by My Father. And I will love him and will disclose Myself to him. What a beautiful passage. He's going to disclose Himself to you. Not out of emotionalism, but inside your soul. Verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to Him, Lord, what then has happened that You are going to disclose Yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves Me, and the only way we can do this is in the power of the Spirit, he will keep My word, faith and love. And My Father will love him. By the way, I'll show you faith and love when we come here. It's in 1 John. It's in the Gospel of John 13 and 14. But right now I'm just giving it to you. If anyone loves Me, he will keep My word. And My Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. Kapow. That is powerful. Extremely powerful. Powerful. Now, chapter 13, verse 20. Chapter 13, verse 20. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever, or the one that I send, actually, the Holy Spirit, emphasizing the relationship of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, receives Me. This phrase emphasizes the relationship between Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and then it emphasizes the relationship between the believer and the Holy Spirit, and then it emphasizes the relationship between you and Jesus Christ. So many relationships involved here. He receives Me, receives Him who sent Me. So now we come to God the Father. We bring Him into this equation. We've got Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ and you, the Holy Spirit and you, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit and you, you and Jesus Christ, you and the Holy Spirit. Now we bring in into this God the Father. Reference to the Father. Receive the Holy Spirit, we receive Christ. We receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive God the Father. God the Father sent Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit, and our response is faith. God the Father sent Jesus Christ, the love of God for all mankind, while we were His enemies, sinners. God the Father and Jesus Christ, they are now one, and in turn they send to us the Holy Spirit, so we can have relationship with them. Okay, let's get a flow. Verse 18, betrayal. Judas' betrayal. Verse 19, verification of himself and all that happens. In other words, I'm going to tell you everything that happened, you'll know who I am then. Verse 20, the sending of the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, a troubled spirit. This is not the Holy Spirit, it's the troubled spirit of man, of Jesus Christ. Because before coming of the Holy Spirit, he must die and leave those he loves behind. And so 2 weeks from now, we'll pick it up at 21. When Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit. Remember, we're at the upper room. We're in the upper room. And testified and said, truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me. All of this is going on in our Savior's mind at this table. It's a powerful night. It's a powerful night. Let's close in a word of prayer. Any questions, first of all? If we were a seminary, you'd have 100 questions. Any questions? Any? Okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray now that your Spirit will take the deep things that we've seen tonight. Have the dynamics of the interrelationship of all of these fellowships and relationships be dynamic, first of all, in our own soul. The wonder of the relationship of you and your Son and your Spirit and the Son and your Spirit and us, and your Son and us, and finally, Father, you and us. You did all of these things. And this is what we have to realize, Father. You did all these things. Christ did what things he did. The Holy Spirit does these things that we might have fellowship with you. Now, Father, that's an awesome thought. There are members of the human race don't even want to have fellowship with us. And you did all these wonders to establish fellowship and relationship with us. How can we not love that kind of love? How can we not be compelled by that kind of love? We praise you, Father. And in the world that we live in, it's so messed up now, and so wars everywhere, rumors of wars everywhere. A great peace and fellowship comes over us that you've given to us in these passages tonight. We praise you, Father, for the God you are. In your Son's precious name, amen.